Okay, I want to address here a very, very common question. Very often, the question begins with a whole bunch of background information and a big, long story in terms of what the person has experienced in their marriage. But if you really boil it down, in many cases, the question can be summarized as follows. How do I apologize? And that's what I'd like to address here for a few moments, is the question of how to apologize effectively. If you're in a marital crisis situation, which most of you are, so for sure you have contributed in some way, shape, or form to the marital crisis. I'm sure you could point the finger at your spouse and give me a long list of their sins, and I'm sure you'd be correct in terms of the list you provided. Nonetheless, I've never seen a situation where there's not dual responsibility. You must have contributed in some way, shape, or form to your marital situation. And if you've made mistakes, we're all human, we all make mistakes. If you've made mistakes, then you have the opportunity, even the responsibility, to apologize. And the question is, how do you do that in an effective way? Again, you have the responsibility, even the opportunity to apologize, and many of you are dealing with very difficult situations with a very difficult or obstinate spouse. And sometimes it's hard to identify things that you can do that do not require your spouse's participation, cooperation, or reciprocation. In other words, what are the things that you can do unilaterally that might make a difference in your marriage? So this is one of them. What I'm about to describe here requires minimal participation from your spouse. And in my experience, even in the most obstinate situations, the person in the Lone Ranger tract can complete this exercise, can apologize to their spouse effectively. And if it's done properly, my experience is that it can be very, very effective. So let's talk about how do you apologize effectively. I want to begin by explaining how not to go about it. And in a sense, that'll lay the groundwork for why the way I'm going to suggest you go about it is effective. The truth is that most people, when they apologize, they do it in a way that's really not helpful. The first mistake they make is people generally say, "I'm sorry." Now, I realize that really requires an explanation. Mort, why in the world would saying "I'm sorry" be a mistake? The reason is because generally when people say "I'm sorry" to their spouse, what's in their heart is their agenda, meaning that they want to wipe the slate clean. They're in a lot of pain. They're frustrated. They want to reconcile their marriage. They want their spouse to end the affair. They're desperate for relief from this nightmare. And they're hoping that if they can sweep in and say, "I'm sorry," that that will sort of do a reset, that they'll be able to have a redo, that that'll wipe the slate clean and we'll be able to start all over. But you see, if you approach the apology with that attitude, if you approach the apology with the mindset that you are trying to accomplish something for you, if you approach it desperate for your own relief, then it's essentially a selfish act. The irony is that if you're going to apologize, if you're going to acknowledge that you made mistakes, then the purpose of your apology should be, I think, for the benefit of your spouse, right? You did something wrong. You hurt them. You made some mistakes. So the goal of the apology then, whatever exactly that goal is, which we'll get back to, it needs to be for their benefit, not for yours. But again, most people approach an apology really with their agenda, their benefit in mind. I'm going to say I'm sorry, and hopefully this will wipe the slate clean. Your spouse, when you approach an apology in that way, can feel that that's your agenda. And it's very frustrating to them. It's really angering to them. It really makes things worse. Because here, you're coming in saying, I'm sorry. Now, the other thing is, I'm sorry is one of those expressions that is not one of those expressions in our culture that's not just an expression of your feelings or thoughts. It's also a solicitation for your spouse's response, right? If I say to you, how are you? You feel pretty compelled to say, I'm fine. It's just kind of a social grace. If I say to you, I love you, you've heard me talk about this before, you feel compelled to say, I love you too. Well, if I say to you, I'm sorry, then you feel compelled to say, I forgive you. It's just kind of, those two sort of go hand in hand. And when I say to you that I'm sorry, you feel a responsibility. You feel me tugging, so to speak, for you to say, I forgive you. But if you think about it, when I say I'm sorry, I haven't really done anything that would help you achieve forgiveness. So I'm asking you, in a sense, just by saying I'm sorry, I'm asking you for forgiveness. I'm coming at you with a clear agenda that I want to wipe the slate clean. Yet those two words did nothing to help you achieve forgiveness, did nothing to help you get to the point where you would be ready to wipe the slate clean. Again, if I come to you with an apology, I've got to orient my heart so that what I'm about to do is for you, not for me. What would be for your spouse's benefit? What would help them achieve forgiveness? What would it mean to approach your spouse to apologize in a way that would be effective, that would be helpful for them? Well, what does a person really want when they're hurt? What does a person want and need when they're in pain? It's not an answer. It's not a solution. What a person wants and needs when they're in pain is to be understood. And that, I think, is what it means to deliver an effective apology. It's to demonstrate to your spouse the depth of your understanding of their pain. And when your spouse feels that you really understand them, that you really understand their pain and their experience, that's therapeutic for them. That helps them heal. You know, inside your spouse is just a little boy or a little girl that just wants to be understood. And if you can demonstrate to them that you understand them, they'll melt with you. That's a very connected experience. You know, I remember when one of my boys was young and he was running around in the driveway in the back, and he would fall and scrape his knee and it would be bleeding, and he would come screaming to me, oh, Daddy, Daddy, my knee, look at all this. You know, he'd be screaming his lungs out, right? You know how it is with kids. They got their eyes closed. The tears are running down. The mouth is open. The tongue is wagging. And they're screaming their lungs out, you know, as if, their leg is going to fall off. And I remember early in fatherhood, I would respond to the kids when that happened by saying, look, no, it's no big deal. Really, we'll put some peroxide on it, a bandage, you'll be fine. And their response was, no, it kills you, little. It's terrible. They're screaming and they're alone. It was like a meltdown, right? Like, but I learned later in fatherhood how to respond to kids in this situation in a much more effective way. So they would come screaming with the bloody knee, and my response, I learned, should be this. Oh, my gosh, look at all that blood. You got to be kidding. I can't believe you even able to walk to me. Do you want to go to the emergency room? This is really bad. It must kill. Oh, my gosh, you must be so scared. And their response was, Daddy, calm down. I'll be fine. You know what a person wants when they're in pain? They want company. They want you to join them in their experience. When they feel that you've joined them in their experience, they're healed, and they feel connected to the person that helped heal them. So you want to think about what events occurred in the history of your marriage that led your spouse to feel hurt, pain, neglect, frustration, betrayal, whatever the case may be. By the way, let me point out here that you don't need to apologize for what you did. What you did is really not the problem. What you apologize for is how what you did made your spouse feel. Theoretically, you could have done the same thing in a different marriage, and it wouldn't have hurt or bothered your spouse at all, and there wouldn't even be a need for an apology. Just further evidence that the problem is not what you did, it's the pain that it caused. And that's what you're apologizing for. So be very careful in your apology that you don't spend a lot of time talking about what you did. It's not really that relevant. It's only relevant to the extent that you need to describe what you did in order to then launch into an explanation or a description of how you think that made your spouse feel. That's the important point, is how it made them feel. And what you have to do is, again, you can start with an event that occurred, and you can describe the event, right, so that they know what time and place that you're thinking about. And so you can kind of help transport them back to that same in time and place. Do you remember the time that we were at, you know, Aunt Nancy's house? And, you know, it was whatever. It was Christmas Eve, you know, 2001. And you were wearing on that night such and such a dress, and we brought the kids, except for one we left home with a babysitter. Remember, Joey, we left home with a babysitter because he was sick. In other words, offer enough detail that their mind and heart is transported back to that time and place and that event. Then you transition to the important part, which is how that made them feel. So you might begin to describe, you know, when that happened, I imagine you were feeling XYZ. I imagine you must have been thinking. You must have been asking yourself. You must have been wondering. And drill down deeper and deeper and deeper, as deep as you can, into their feelings, their perspective. This is the hard part. Stay in their perspective. Describe it from their perspective, their thoughts, their feelings, how they saw it. The hardest part is to refrain from going into how you saw it and why you did what you did. Again, the mistake people make when they apologize, number one is they say, I'm sorry. Number two is they apologize for what they did. No, you're not apologizing for what you did. You apologize for how what you did made them feel. And the third big mistake people make is they apologize. After they say what they did, they then go on and explain why they did what they did. Let me tell you why I did that. Let me tell you what I was thinking. Let me tell you what I meant. And they go on and on, and sometimes their explanation is so compelling and so logical that that your spouse ends up feeling like, wow, this made so much sense to him that in the same circumstances, he would do it again. He doesn't understand me at all. You've really got to refrain from talking about why you did what you did from your perspective. By the way, it's worth noting, why, when we're apologizing, do we feel like we want to explain why we did what we did? You know why? Because we want to be understood. If I can explain to you why I did what I did, and you can understand why I did what I did, then I'll feel understood and I'll feel a lot better. But again, it gets back to my first point, which is if I'm apologizing to you, what's the purpose of the apology? Who is this for? It's not for me to feel better. It's for you to feel better. If I owe you an apology because of pain I caused, then what I should be doing here should be for your benefit, not for mine. So you've got to refrain from explaining why you did what you did so that you feel better. Instead, you've got to offer a deep explanation as to why they felt what they felt, what they were thinking, what they were asking themselves. And the deeper you can go, the better. The more connections you can make, the better. I realize that whole event that occurred and how that made you feel must have been related some ways to, you know, your relationship with your brother and your experience with your father in childhood. Obviously, I'm just making this up. But in other words, if you can connect their feelings to important parts of their life or other events, maybe this, I imagine this made you feel similar to the way you felt in your first marriage when such and such happened. Whatever you can do to demonstrate that you really understand your spouse. The first thing you have to do to accomplish that, by the way, is go for a long walk on the beach. Of course, I mean that metaphorically. But the point is, the first step here is to really think deeply, to get in a quiet space and give yourself time to step out of your shoes and into your spouse's shoes. And really, you've got to get inside their head and think their thoughts. You've got to get inside their heart and feel their pain. And when you get to the point when you can cry their tear, that's when you've given it enough thought and you're ready to have this conversation, this apology discussion with your spouse. By the way, a great way to prepare for this discussion is to write a letter to your spouse. Now, a lot of times people make the mistake of actually writing the letter and giving it to their spouse. I just want to be crystal clear here. The purpose, the main purpose of writing the letter is to prepare yourself for the discussion. And only after the apology discussion, if you want, you can give your spouse the letter. And what does the letter do? The letter really forces you to prepare for the discussion. It forces you to articulate and organize your understanding of their pain and their hurt. Let me give you some further direction in terms of this letter and how you should go about writing it. First, I'll give you the first sentence. The first sentence of the letter should be this. I've been giving some thought to some of the things that have occurred over the years, and in particular, how they may have caused you to feel. Now, let's just analyze that first sentence, because there's a lot there. And the truth is that that first sentence can offer you a structure for the rest of the letter. I've been giving some thought to some of the things that have occurred. Okay, that's what happened, the event. You need to describe the event, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense to begin describing how they felt and what they were thinking. What do you mean? How I felt about what? What I was thinking as it relates to what? So you need to describe the event. So the first sentence is, I've been giving some thought to some of the things that have occurred, and in particular, right, here comes the important part, how they may have how they may have caused you to feel. So that is really the structure of the letter. First, you describe the event that occurred, and you kind of transport the both of you back to that time and place. Then from there, you launch into a discussion about how that may have caused your spouse to feel. Now, be careful to do that one feeling at a time. In other words, one event may have caused your spouse to feel both unimportant, neglected, and betrayed. Those are three very different feelings. And there's no way your spouse is going to feel understood if you just write one sentence and say, that must have made you feel unimportant, neglected, and betrayed. No. Instead, you need to write a number of paragraphs, first describing what that feels like to feel unimportant. You need to do that in a convincing way so they really feel like you're inside their head. Then once you've exhausted your ability to explain how they felt and why they felt unimportant, then you can transition to why that same event caused them to feel neglected. And then a few paragraphs, and again, transition to betrayed. So one event could result in them feeling a number of different things. Then you might go to another event, which may have caused them to feel a whole other list of things. Now, you don't have to describe every event that ever occurred in your marriage that led to negative feelings. In most marriages, even though there's a whole bunch of different events, there's a dynamic going on in most marriages such that all those events are producing, so to speak, generating the same ill feelings. So what you want to do in the letter slash discussion is to make sure that you cover all the feelings, but you don't have to cover all the events. So if you use one event to launch into an in-depth discussion about how your spouse felt unappreciated, then you don't need to describe every single event that resulted in them feeling unappreciated. And then the letter, again, will really help you prepare for the discussion. It will force you to demonstrate to yourself that you've really thought this out. You're really prepared to articulate to your spouse this apology. Again, be careful. Do not give your spouse this letter initially. I have never seen anything productive occur because of a letter that one spouse gave another. But I have seen it be quite productive when face-to-face, belly-to-belly, you demonstrate to your spouse that you can get inside their head, you can get inside their heart, and you can really feel their pain. That can be an emotional discussion. That can be a real breakthrough experience. That can be a situation where your spouse feels in your presence that you deeply understand them and they will feel connected to you. Then if you want, you don't have to, it's not important, but if you want, you can give the letter to them after the discussion. Sometimes the benefit of that is that the discussion can be so emotional that they miss some things. They're not totally present emotionally present during the whole discussion. So the letter gives them the opportunity to, afterwards, sitting on their bed at night, they can read it, they can reread it, they can read it again, and it'll remind them of the experience that they had with you feeling understood. Not only, if you do this well, not only will your spouse feel understood, but the result is often also that your spouse will feel that you won't do this again. Because deep down we realize that the reason why people hurt us is not because they're evil. It's not because they're mean. It's not because they're a jerk. It's because they didn't realize how what they were doing was making me feel. I mean, how many times do I hear that from us, you know, from the offender? I didn't know she felt that way. I didn't realize that he would react like that. If I had known, I wouldn't have done it. And so people know deep down that you hurt them not because you're a jerk, but because you just didn't realize what you were causing them to feel. So when you demonstrate to them the depth of your understanding of their hurt and their pain, when you demonstrate to them how much you understand how those actions made them feel, they now feel safe that they that you won't do that again. Because you're not evil. You're not going to knowingly and intentionally cause them pain. And so it makes them feel safe. And it gives hope and possibility to the marriage going forward. So that's a little bit about how to apologize effectively. Again, let me just summarize some of the high points. Don't just sweep in and say to your spouse, "I'm sorry." That usually in their gut is interpreted as selfish. You're just trying to wipe the slate clean and get me to say I forgive you, when really you've done nothing to help me achieve forgiveness. So what is it that helps a person achieve healing and forgiveness? It's to be understood. It's for them to feel like you've joined them in their experience and their pain. So what you want to do is give deep thought to the events that have occurred in your marriage, and most importantly, how those events have caused your spouse to feel, to think, and to use a letter to prepare yourself for that discussion. By the way, this assignment, this exercise of writing this letter is not a small one. When I help people with this letter, which I can do in private session if you want, usually there are multiple drafts we go through, and at the end, the letter could be 5, 10, 15 pages long. In order for your spouse to feel understood, your description of their pain, of their feelings, of their thoughts, it has to be deep. It has to be comprehensive. It has to be elaborate. It can't be this quick, fleeting explanation that you felt hurt. They won't feel understood if you just say you felt hurt. If you say, on the other hand, "Wow, you must have really felt hurt. I imagine you were thinking, how could he do this? We're supposed to be a team. He said that he would always protect me." You must have been asking yourself. In other words, when you really dive deep and don't let go of that one feeling and try to describe all the things your spouse probably associated with that feeling, all the memories maybe it brought up, associations with other relationships that maybe it brought up, then they'll really feel understood. If they feel understood, they'll feel that you really are sorry. And they'll feel healed somewhat from the pain that you caused. And they'll feel safe that you won't do it again. And all of that will contribute significantly to a potential reconciliation.